Amen. He is the great I am. Amen. Happy New Year. I know that it's good to start off the year with new beginnings, new promises, new revolutions or resolutions. Seems like we have both of them, right? But it's always good to start off the new year with God. Amen. And to end the old year with God. Yes. Y'all got time, I just want to talk to you a little bit. Amen. Not going to say I shan't be long, but we don't know where we're going to be at. Amen. Thought I might talk to you from the Psalms, and we are going to start a new study on Wednesday night from the Psalms, and there are books in the back, the book of Psalms. We're not going to go through all the Psalms, we're just going to do a few. Psalms 1, Psalms 2, 3, 8, 15, 16, 19, 22, 23, 27, 32, 37, 38, and 51, but there's 150 of them, and I don't think y'all won't go through all of them. Amen? So I thought I might just preach to you from the Psalms as well as we study the Psalms. And there's no more beautiful psalm than the 23rd Psalm. I think all of us at some point in our lives have recited or remembered or heard the 23rd Psalm. Amen? But before I get started, I just want to thank those who are welcome you, rather, who are visiting with us and say you are indeed our honored guest. Amen. Amen. We don't take your visit lightly. We certainly appreciate you coming by to hear what thus said the Lord. We always look at it as a blessing to us from God when you drop by, because we know that God is still in the increasing business. Amen. That's so liberating, the church members, knowing that God said, one plants, another waters, but it is God who gives the increase. Amen. Let God do what God do, and you do what you need to do, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. 2020. I thought I'd have a flying car by now. Pretty close, though. We got self-parking cars. That's okay. We got cars that run so quiet, I almost got ran over by a Tesla. Didn't hear it coming. Can talk to you on my watch. Amen. Can see you on my Dick Tracy watch and everything right now. It's all good and dandy. But even more than that, we ought to be making progress in the Lord. Bible does say that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, but we ought to be making progress. And Jesus can stay the same, but it doesn't mean that you have to stay the same. You ought to want to change to be better than you were last year, this year. Amen. I'm going to get where I need to be. Y'all got time?
Yes, sir.
Let me read to you the 23rd Psalms from the Message Bible. The Message Bible says, God is my shepherd. I do not need anything. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through the death valley, I am not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook make me feel secure. You serve me a six-course meal or dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims over with blessings. Your beautiful and loving beauty and love, rather, chase after me every day of my life. I am back home. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. 23 Psalms. The text says in verse number 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This psalm reflects the happiness, the hope, and it reflects the shepherd's heart. Y'all got time? Y'all look like y'all kind of a little bit stiff out there. Amen. It speaks of God's promise and God's physical and spiritual blessings. Thou anointed my head with oil speaks of the Holy Spirit in which we need in our lives. We couldn't face life without that anointing. Sometimes we get beat up. Sometimes we get bruised up. Sometimes we end up with blisters on our bodies. And the anointing of the oil just soothes our pain. Amen, if you can. And then the psalmist says, my cup runs over. Speaks of the joy which we have, knowing that God's grace and God's mercy covers us. The joy in knowing that the promise of God is evident in our lives, that the world can't take it away. You know, I know that there's a lot going on in our world. There are things that are happening that I can't explain to you, and I wouldn't even endeavor to try to explain it to you. But, you know, the world can't take it away. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Secures me and makes me feel like no matter even when death is knocking at my door, I can still feel comfortable that the Lord is right there. And even though I go through the valley of shadow of death, I like the idea that he says that I go through. Even though things are rough on this side, I go through. Even though things may be tough, I still go through. I don't have to stop and stay there. I can move on through it because thou art with me. And even if I should die today, the Lord is still with me. He's not just my Lord while I'm alive. He's going to be my Lord when I die also. Amen. I remember reading over in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive shall be caught up to be with him forevermore. And even though I go through some stuff down here, I don't have to worry about it because the Lord is with me day and night, and I can take comfort in that. So I love this psalm because this psalm speaks to my heart in so many various ways that I can't even contemplate them. When I'm thinking about what's going on, I can just recite this psalm. I remember I was having some anxiety at one time when I would go to bed, and I would get a little anxious, and things would, my heart would start racing and my breathing would start racing, and I would just recite this psalm and calm myself down. Even though I was going through whatever it was, I don't know if it was the medication that was causing it or whatever, but this psalm would bring me back to where I needed to be. It would slow me down and show me that the Lord is still with me. No, I don't have nothing to fear because the Lord is always with me. But I like what he says. He says, you know, thou prepareth a table. Y'all got time. And if you don't mind, I just like to talk to you about is the table ready? Is the table ready? You know, it's quite clear who's setting the table up. The Bible says clearly in your Bible, it's just what you read, it says, thou. And then if you want to put it in common day vernacular today, it says, you. And that you there is not second person, is second person in the sense, but it's in the passive sense, the active sense, that God is the one who's preparing the table, not you. Yes. Amen. It is not you. You're not the one that's doing it. It's God who's preparing the table. God is preparing it for you and me. You see, many of us know God and we try to live right, but it's hard for us to sit at the table because we have put too much junk on the table. Now, I'm going to share some things with you that you might not know about me. See, it's like us to take the table that God prepares for us and junk it all up. You know, even in our homes sometimes, you know, and I'm not talking about your home, I'm talking about mine. My dinner table. And this is no reflection on my wife or my mother-in-law. It's me. I have taken the dinner table and I have put everything on there that does not belong on the dinner table. I have electronic stuff. I have a magnifying glass for soldering stuff and the soldering iron and all kind of stuff on the dinner table. Amen. I got a cutting board on the dinner table. Everything that is not supposed to be there. And I got hats on. I got coats hanging on the back of the chair and everything. And some of the chair may be broke, but I set them anyway. Just junking stuff up. Amen, if you can. You know, and I'm a victim of it. I have a bad habit of doing that. And every once in a while, I'll clean it up. So if y'all coming by, y'all need to let me know so I can clean it. I'll clean a spot for you. I might not clean the whole thing. And I'll put you in one of the good chairs so that you don't fall. And we don't want to be liable for that. Amen, if you can. You know, mail all over the place from 3 weeks ago. Sales papers, magazines, newspapers, all over the table, purse and jacket hanging on the chair of the table. Two of the chairs don't work. I'm telling you, it got a broke leg. Don't sit in the chair. The first thing we got to do is learn. It's important. The table is important because when the family meet together, somebody needs to say amen. When the family gather together at the dining table, at the dinner table, when family get together, three things ought to happen at that dining table. People will have a good time and healthy discussion about issues at the dining table when you sit down at the table. But the table needs to be clean in order for folk to sit down at the table. Somebody ought to say amen. Is the table ready? When folk come by, if families coming by, people will laugh when they sit down at the table. And people sometimes argue and fight at the table. Some folk get shot at the table. Y'all just ought to say amen. If you're eating at my house, you're liable to get all three of these in one meal. Not shot, but you will get into an argument. Say amen. You might laugh a little bit. You might have some good, healthy discussion, and you might even feel good while you're sitting there. Now, I hope that you won't leave mad, but sometimes that happens at the dining table. That's what the family is all about. You can't have family without having good time. You can't have family without having good discussion. You can't have family without having arguments sometimes, because everybody needs to be able to say what's on their mind. And sometimes folk don't like you to tell them when they're wrong. Somebody need to help me this morning. I remember in the movie The Color Purple. And Celia told Abbott she was leaving with Suge. Y'all remember that? And what was interesting, all three of these things happened at the table at the same time there. They started talking and then they started fighting. Celia stabbed the knife down in the table and asked Abbott, "I haven't ever asked you for anything." And they all got quiet and things got a little bit rowdy there for a minute. And Miss Sophia popped in and changed the whole mood and said, "I'm so glad he to be home." Amen. Sometimes that happens in families. Sometimes, you know, even though she seen what was going on, she realized that this is family. This is what happens in family. I ask you, is the table ready? Are you ready? But in this text, David is talking about life. When he says, "Thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemy," God has prepared a life for you. And the reason some of you can't enjoy life is because you have junked up your life so bad. Somebody need to help me this morning. I wish I had somebody out here that I was talking to. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about this morning. The reason why the table is not prepared is because we've junked it up so bad that God can't put the meal on for us to eat it. Your life is the table and you have put so much on it that you can't even receive the meal. Maybe that's a word for somebody here this morning. Maybe that's a word for somebody here. You can't expect a perfect God to serve you a perfect meal in an improper table where you have junked it up with so many things and you can't clean off a spot so that God can put you a good meal on that. Help me, somebody. You know, God keep trying to clean it up and you keep trying to mess it up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not suggesting that you don't get into trouble sometimes. I'm suggesting that you get into trouble all the time. I'm suggesting that sometimes you just don't want to do what's right. The more God try to do for you, the more you think that God's grace is going to continue to abound. Paul said, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We need to know that God's grace will come to an end. You can't keep on relying on grace and mercy. At some point, you got to start doing what's right. Somebody need to say amen. I keep putting it on the table. You keep pushing it off, putting it in the garbage can. You can't expect a just God to let you have your table your way. This is not McDonald's. Or that Burger King, I don't know. See, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't have it your way all the time. At some point, you got to realize that God's in charge and God's cooking the meal and you got to eat what God wants you to eat if you're going to stay alive. Doctor suggested to me that I get on a Mediterranean diet. I'm like, I'm not Mediterranean. Why would I want to eat Mediterranean diet? Well, if you want to continue to be fat, then keep on eating what you're eating. Do it the way you want to do it. All right, amen. I'll do it the way you want me to do it if I want to live. Amen, if you can. Not just a suggestion. It's a mandate. Somebody ought to help me this morning. You need to get on God's diet. You can't expect a faithful God to continue blessing us and our unfaithfulness to God. Somebody need to help me this morning. You can't expect a faithful God to keep blessing your unfaithfulness. You show up sometimes, and when you show up, all you want to show up with your hand out. Somebody need to help me this morning. Oh, somebody didn't like that. Amen. I hope I was talking to somebody. I don't know. That might be a message for somebody. But you can't keep showing up to a faithful God when you just continue to be unfaithful. You know, there's some folk like that. We got kinfolk like that. We have kinfolk like that. They show up only when they want a handout. Amen. They're your best friend. Then, you know, come on, cuz. You got a dollar? Amen, if you can. I have cousins like that. I don't know about you. You can't expect a personal Savior to come to the table with you and all of your uninvited friends. Amen, if you can. You see, you can't expect God to come into your environment when you're bringing in things that God said that you ought not to have around you. Somebody need to help me. And sometimes that means friends. I'll say more about that later. If you expect God to take you higher, you got to clean the table up first. And you just can't expect God to come in. I mean, think about it. Think about what I'm talking about here. You've got all this junk on the table. And God's coming in with this big old roasted turkey. Amen, if you can. He got dressing on the side. He's got all this fixings and all these things. And he's got all that. And if you're from Louisiana, he got some gumbo that he want to put on the table. And there's nowhere to set it because you got so much junk on the table that God can't even give you what you need to have in order that you might be healthy. Are y'all still with me? You can't expect the word to manifest. You got to clean the table up first. You got to clean the table in order that God might be able to prepare it properly for you. So that means that, see, what we envision in this preparing is that God comes in and God does all the cleaning first, and then God is going to prepare. That's not what God is talking about. God is talking about cleaning your life up, and God is preparing your life for how God wants to use it. The Bible says that God, that all things work together for those that love the Lord and is called according to God's purpose. See, God will prepare you for God's purpose. Somebody needs to say amen. So when you quote that scripture, you always quote, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Don't forget about the part that are called for God's purpose. God is not just working out all things for the good of everybody. He's working it out for those who have been called for God's purpose. Amen, if you can. Now, see, we like the part that we like that God is working. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Yes, but you have been called for God's purpose. And because you have been called for God's purpose, all things are working together for the good of those that love God and are doing God's purpose. So if you're not doing God's purpose and your table is all cluttered up, amen. You got stuff on your table that you had from last year. Say amen. You got some junk on there that you were doing last year. Say amen. You got some junk on there that you were doing last year. Say amen. And then you're saying, I'm called for God's purpose, but you got other purpose in mind. And you got other things that you want to do. And you've got other things that you have planned to do this year. And it has nothing to do with God's purpose. Don't go quoting the scripture that says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. If you're not going to include the fact that I am striving to do God's purpose for my life. Somebody need to help me this morning. You can't expect the word to be manifest in you if you don't want to clean the table first. And that means I have to clean some friends out. That means I got to get rid of some folk. That means in order to keep my table clean, I've got to get rid of some folk who influenced me to do some things bad. I remember when I was younger and I was smoking the marijuana. Don't look at me like that. That's when I was younger. And friends would always come around to Gary because Gary always had some marijuana. I had marijuana every day. Amen. And there wasn't a day that I didn't smoke. But when I decided that I wanted to follow God and do God's purpose, I had to get rid of the marijuana. And that meant that some friends had to go. Somebody needs to say amen. You know, you have no idea how it would be for me going up asking, knocking on the drug dealer door, and the first thing they would say, are you a narc? Because I didn't look like a marijuana smoker. I don't know what a marijuana smoker looked like, but evidently they knew what one looked like. Amen. Had to leave that stuff alone. I had to get rid of that. In other words, I couldn't do and continue to do what I was doing because friends love to see friends get high. Amen. And all my friends would get high because I would give them marijuana, and if they had it, they would give it to me. Somebody needs to say amen. You have to clean some friends out of your life in order to keep your table clean. You've got to get rid of some folk who continue to influence you to do the wrong thing. It means that you have to clean out some other things. Some other things in order to keep yourself pure. It means that you got to clean out some things, I say, at your table in order to keep yourself holy. If you can't clean out some things out of your life, then you may not be able to let God put anything else on your table. See, if your table has all this filthiness on it and all of this junk on it and all of these bad friends on it and all these people who keep you doing the same thing that you were doing last year, you know, folk who want you to go out and steal, folk who want you to just go out and ride and have a good time, somebody say amen. Folk who want to bring you some of that kvassia and all that other stuff and whatever that is, and you know, they want to bring that. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. What's the one in the little blue bag? Oh, never mind. I'm not suggesting that those things are the things that make you do wrong. But some of y'all get drunk and you're just nasty drunks, dirty drunks, mean drunks. Amen. If you've been beating on your wife last year, you need to stop that. If you've been beating on your husband last year, you need to stop that. Amen. If you can't sit down at the table with family and not get into a knockdown drag out. Amen. Fight, you need to stop that. All that's not at the table. Amen. If you can, y'all looking at me mighty strange. I need to move on. I'm on my first point. Amen. You can't expect a holy and pure God to sit down at a dirty table with you. Some of your friends are wondering right now why you don't hang out with them anymore. The reason why you and I don't hang out with them anymore is because they don't want to do what the Lord said. You had to clean them up. You had to get rid of some of those folk because they just make you do things that you used to do. I had a boyhood friend, Dwight, and Dwight would influence me to do some things that I shouldn't do. He would entice me to do burglary. Oh, y'all just looking at me all kind of strange this morning, aren't you? And we used to break into folk house and steal stuff. We broke into Southern University one time. That was the last time I did any breaking in with Dwight. We got caught. And when we went before the judge looked at me and he said, you know, you knew you don't need to be here. And my mom was there. And they let me go. They didn't put me on probation or anything like that. 14 years old. They didn't do that. I was glad. But that was the last time that I did anything. They sent Dwight to juvenile detention, though. And I had to cut him loose. Because of the fact that if I had kept going the way that he was going and trying to lead me, I would have ended up in jail for sure. Amen, if you can. What are you saying, Brother Lodge? I'm saying to you, sometimes you got to cut folk loose in order to do what's right. There are some people who are influencing you to do what's wrong, and those people are the people that you don't want to be around anymore. You got to let them go. Somebody need to help me this month. Like that Frozen song saying, that the song, let it go. Some of my colleagues are wondering why I don't socialize with them anymore. And, you know, there are folk that I work with who drink a little bit and do all that stuff. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't spit, and I don't do any of that, so I stay away from them. Amen? And I have to draw a limit on how far I can go with them. And so I just know that that's not what my life is about. When I look back over my life, I realize it hadn't always been me who junked up my life and my table. And usually, the junk come from other folk. You know, there was a time when I, and all repairmen know what I'm talking about, I used to fix computers and folk would just come by and drop their old junk computers off and want it fixed, amen? And then when you tell them how much it's going to cost, they just leave it. It's like any repairman, that's why TVs, when TV repairmen, when you go into a TV repairman shop, you see all these TVs, and you be like, why do you have all these TVs in here? Because people don't want to come back and get their junk. And folk will come by and drop their junk off on you. Somebody needs to say amen. And you have to have sense enough to know that when they come by and they want to drop their junk off on you, then you need to tell them to take their junk with them. Say amen if you can. So in order to receive the promises of God, you need to clean your table off. Is the table ready? I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 21. The Bible said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. In other words, you can't associate with folk who want to do what's wrong and expect to do what's right. Now, I'm not suggesting to you, I know there's a conundrum here because you have to associate with folk in order to teach them the gospel. But what Paul is saying here is that you cannot allow them to influence you. Are you the influencer or are you being influenced? Amen. You can't sit at the Lord's table after you just sat at the devil's table. I was sharing with a man. He was telling me that he did some things, and he sounded like my uncle. And so I shared with him. I said, you sound just like my uncle. My uncle was a Baptist preacher who baptized me when I was 12 years old. And he'd preach every Sunday morning. But he ran the Red Rooster every Saturday night. He owned a bar called the Red Rooster. And some of that same crowd would come from the Red Rooster to church on Sunday morning. They was with him all night, and they would come and listen to him on Sunday morning. Amen, if you can, I'm just trying to share something with you. Now, some of y'all wondering how he can do that. I don't know how he can do it, but he did it for a very long time. And what I'm trying to share with you right now is you cannot sit at the Lord's table when you have sat at the devil's table all night and then expect to get what you need to get, because you still got some of that residue on you. You got to make a decision as to what table you're going to eat from. Amen. Is the table ready? You can't bring that mess from the devil's buffet into God's holy luncheon. You see, I know when you come in here, you're supposed to get cleaned up. That's why Paul tells us over there, he said, I receive from the Lord, and that where I receive from the Lord, I deliver unto you. That the Lord, when he was the same night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he said, he blessed it, and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he goes on down, and he said, let a man examine himself. Or a woman examine herself. In order that they might eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because if you eat of that bread and eat of that cup in an unworthily manner, you eat it and drink damnation unto yourself. You got to get yourself right. Look at who you are before you eat this bread and drink this cup. If you've been out there all night, you need to confess that stuff and get right so that you can do it right. Because you may be eating death and damnation to yourself. Somebody need to help me this morning. Pick which table you're going to eat of. Because if the table is not ready, you can't get God to put anything on it if you got it all messed up. Amen, if you can. I need to push on. Y'all looking like y'all understand. I don't know. And not only do you need to know and understand that you got to clean the table off, you need to set the table. Are y'all still there? In this text it says, thou prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. But the part that makes me shout is, he says, in the presence of my enemies. And I'm encouraging, even at the Lord's Supper, Jesus prepared a table knowing that his enemy was among them. In Luke chapter 21 and verse number 20, the Bible says, behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on this table. You see, you don't have to worry about the enemy being right there in front of you. You don't have to worry about the enemy being around you. Let the enemy be where the enemy is, because that's all right. If the enemy is there, you don't have to be afraid. I always like to look at it like the junkyard dog. Junkyard dog is tough and rough, and junkyard dog is all right. You go in there during the daytime to the junkyard dog is on the chain. Somebody else say amen. And that dog can run and bark and come so far, but as far as that chain will allow him to go, as long as you stay outside the chain, you're okay. He can bark and jump and hoop and holler and do all that he wants. As long as you don't get within, are y'all still there? You need to stay out of the range of the chain, because if you get out of the range of the chain, then you're going to get bit. Now, at night, when they turn the dog loose off the chain, don't cross the fence. Somebody need to help me this morning. You don't have to worry about the enemy, because the enemy is on the chain. The enemy is behind a fence. As long as you stay on the side that you're supposed to be on, out of the range of it, you're going to be okay. But when you decide that you want to step into the enemy's realm, somebody need to help me. So David was actually prophesying when he wrote. He said, thou prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemy. You see, that means to me that getting set up, that God is setting it up for me right in front of my enemy. I don't have to worry about that, and that ought to make you happy as well. God is changing my life right in front of my haters. Somebody need to help me this morning. You know, you're on the job and folk hating on you. They don't want you to get a promotion, and God is changing you right in front of you. Let them talk. Let them say what they want to say. God is doing it right in front of my enemies. Amen. God is improving me right in front of my haters. And they can't do nothing but hate because that's what they are. That's who they are. Don't you become a hater because they're a hater. Somebody needs to say amen. God is upgrading me right in front of my haters. They can't help but be negative because that's who they are. And I don't have to become negative because they become negative. I don't have to become haters because they are haters. All I need to do is let God do what God does for me. See, it's unbelievable what God is doing right now in your life and in my life. And, you know, in 2020, God is trying to set us on a new path, and we ought to be glad that God is doing that. People aren't used to watching the power of God. They're so busy trying to feel it, the power themselves, they can't watch anybody else get an upgrade. Somebody ought to say amen. I remember when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, Moses says, stand still. Are y'all there? He says, stand still and watch God at work. Sometimes you just got to be happy about somebody else being blessed and not you being blessed. Somebody say amen if you can. Sometimes it's good to watch other folk get an upgrade while you are standing there because it blesses you to know that God is not just in your business, but God is in everybody's business. Somebody ought to say amen. And you ought to be happy that your brothers and sisters are getting blessed and that 2020 is going to be a nice year for them and it's going to be all right for you as well. But you ought to be happy that somebody else got something that you didn't get. Because you see God at work. Somebody need to say amen. And while I'm here, let me just stop and say, don't you be hating on them and saying, yeah, well, they deserved it because they sure needed it. Amen. That's just putting yourself better than them. Somebody ought to say amen. That's why you hadn't got it. Somebody ought to say amen. People aren't used to watching the power of God. But you better watch me. God is doing something at my table. God is doing something at your table. God is fixing up something that smells good at my table and something that smells good at your table. You know, and I like God the way God is because God knows just what I need and he doesn't fix me something that he prepared for you. He knows I love gumbo, so he fixed me gumbo. He knows that you love soup, so he fixed you soup. Somebody else say amen. He knows what you need and he gives you what you need when he gives me what I need. Yes. I'm short on money now. Amen. God know it, but watch. You're going to get it in a minute. God is doing something in your life and in my life. You know, my table doesn't look right now, but keep watching. You're going to get it in a minute. I keep slipping back. That's okay because God is still doing something with me. Keep watching. I keep backsliding and I keep going and coming and keep going and coming. And I'm not going to be angry because you keep going and coming. Just keep coming. Somebody else say amen. But keep watching. God is going to make it where you're going to stop going and he's going to make it where you keep coming. Somebody else say amen. God's going to do something in a minute. People will hate on you. And that's all right because the world is going to see it in a minute. They don't understand right now. And I know that folk are taking their anger out on folk who are religious, but that's all right because God is still doing something with us. And the reason you haven't gotten it is because you don't know who's serving. Say that again. The reason why you hadn't got it is because you don't know who's serving. You're looking at me. And what you need to be watching is the one who's serving. See, you're looking at me. I'm not the server. You're looking at my plate, but you don't know who or how much is still in the oven. You don't know what God is still going to put on my plate. Amen. It may not look so great right now. Might look a little messed up. You better look past what's on my plate right now and pay attention to what's cooking. Amen. You know, sometimes when you get in there and you prepare the plate, Brother McGill, you set that table up. You set it up and you put all of the forks and the plates and everything out, and you put the napkins out and everything, and there's nothing on the table. There's nothing but plates and napkins and table, but you smell the aroma cooking over in the oven. Somebody else say amen. And then you're looking at the empty plate and saying, well, it looks like they have a whole lot around here. You don't know what's on the stove right now. You don't know what's cooking over there where God is preparing for you. See, the Bible says God is preparing for me a table. And preparing means that I might not have it right now, but you just hold on for a little while. And you're going to see it. But seriously, though, look at Luke chapter 22 and verse number 27. God is going to get it there. God is going to put it on there, and it's not going to be an empty plate all the way. Somebody need to help me this morning. I don't know. But seriously, they don't know who's serving. Listen to what Luke says over in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 27. He said, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as one who serves, but you are also who continue with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you the kingdom just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on my throne, judging the 12 tribes. The reason why we don't know who's serving.
Yes.
The enemy doesn't want you to know the authority that you have. See, the enemy doesn't want you to know how much authority you have. He doesn't want you to know that one day you're going to be judged. He doesn't want you to know that one day you're going to be standing at the judgment seat over Satan and all of his demonic beings. And he didn't want you to know that. God, you remember Job, God asked Satan, where you been? And Satan said, I've been roaming the earth to and fro. Now you need to pay attention to this. He said, I've been roaming the earth to and fro. Why were you roaming the earth to and fro, Satan? Because I don't have enough power to be everywhere at the same time. So I had to go from one place to another. I had to go over here and pick on Lodge for a while. Amen. I go pick on McGill for a while. I go pick on Kevin for a while. Because I can't be at everywhere at the same time. Because I don't have that much power. So I'm roaming to and fro. And what I'm trying to figure out is which one of them is weaker. Is Lodge weaker? McGill weaker? Is Kevin weaker? Who am I going to pick on now? Well, there's nothing happening over here. I need to move on. Amen, if you can. You need to pay attention to what's going on there. You give Satan too much power. You give him too much credit. You got more authority than him. You got the power to say, get behind me, Satan. Leave me alone. Get out of my house. I don't want you sitting at my table. Lord has prepared it for me, and I can't have you at my table. You need to move on and go on and mess with somebody else, because there's no place for you over here. I don't have time for you. Somebody else say amen. I've been moving around to and fro. I'm trying to find somebody who's weak, trying to find somebody who's messed up, trying to find somebody whose table is cluttered up. Trying to find somebody who don't have room for the Lord this year. I'm trying to find a house where I can sit down at and stay at for a little while. I'm trying to find somewhere where they'll give me a warm blanket and I can rest and put my feet up and just stay there and mess them up for a while. Somebody else say amen. Nothing to do with you though. You don't have that much of, you're not that special why Satan is trying to pick on you. You're not that special. The reason why Satan is coming around trying to mess with you is because of what happened to him. See, he's trying to make you his puppet because God kicked him out of heaven. And he's mad because God has given you so much attention out here, but you're not really that special. If he can pull you over, then he thinks he's messing with God. And God ain't really worried about him. Somebody don't say amen. There's a war going on that's bigger than you and me. There's a war going on in the spiritual realm. There's a war going on between powers and principalities and darkness and high places. And you need to know that. You're not that special, but he will use you as a puppet to get back at God. Don't be used. I need to hurry up here. This text says, God prepare a place for us at his table in heaven. He's set in heavenly places, and we're going to be set up there with God at God's table. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Some of us are eating with the wrong utensils. You trying to cut your hard situation with a butter knife. They have sharper knives than a butter knife. I know some of you saying, well, that's all I got, Brother Elijah, is a butter knife. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, declare the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. You need to use the correct utensils at your table. You know, I always get frustrated when they put down the salad fork and the fork you're supposed to eat with, and then sometimes the salad fork looks just like the other fork that I'm supposed to. I just pick up a fork and start eating. Somebody needs to say amen. And all those folk who are sophisticated and have etiquettes, they say, you're not supposed to hit with that fork. Well, you know, I hadn't figured it out yet. Amen. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to show me. I need somebody to teach me. I need somebody to correct me. Somebody to help me along this way, because I will mess around and eat my food with the salad fork if I don't know any better. Somebody will say amen. I'll be cutting with the butter knife if I don't know it, if I don't know any better, if I don't know which knife is supposed to be used to cut steak with. I'll try and cut it with the butter knife. Amen, if you can. Especially if I don't see any butter on the table. Trying to eat soup with a fork. Some of us are trying to use the teaspoon to eat vegetables. We're using the salad fork to eat meat. And just terrible table manners. Somebody need to help me. Let me close this thing, because y'all looking at me mighty strange. And y'all just wondering how country I really am. Bless the table. Many of us have problems in our lives because we're doing things without asking God to bless it first. Our core text says, he anointed my head with oil and my cup running over. This means he's restoring his blessings, the blessings of my life. God is restoring me to the blessings of my life. He anointed my head with oil and my cup running over. See, I almost hit that New Orleans thing, that oil. Amen. Y'all caught that, didn't you? And everything you do, you ought to ask God to bless it. You see, we can't go around and expect God to bless it, and we don't want to ask for the blessing. We just expect God to give it. We're taking it for granted. Yes, we have privileges, but even with our privileges, it's nice to be asked sometimes. You know, I try to teach my kids, and, you know, before they take something out the refrigerator, you know, go in and get the last cookie out of the pack and leave the pack in there, you know, amen. None of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. They go in and get the last one out and leave it there. And then in our house, we have a habit of doing stuff like that. And here's the reason why we do that. When we get to the last or whatever is there and the pack is empty, we'll leave the pack there so the next person to know that they need to go buy some more. Amen. I don't know if that's a good habit, because it has gotten me on many occasions. You know, you're good in there, you're like, you come looking for the blessing, and somebody else then got it already and didn't ask. But the Bible said, my cup runneth over. And in other words, the cup is running over so you can be a blessing to somebody else. And it's not that you're going to use it all up for you and then tell them, well, you need to go buy some more. Somebody ought to say amen. And everything you do, you ought to ask God for the blessing, but you ask God also to bless you, but bless other folk as well. If something that God doesn't bless is something that you ought not to be doing. Amen. If somebody is not bringing blessing into your life, is somebody you ought not to be around. Amen. Yeah. Now, let me help you once again with the conundrum here, because you ought to be bringing blessing to other folk's lives as well. Amen. You need to be bringing blessings into folk lives, and you need to know that that's what you're doing there. You're bringing blessings into their lives. But at some point, that person ought to start blessing your life as well. Because if you keep pouring into their cup and their cup start running over, your cup is going to become empty and you don't have anything left. Somebody ought to help me this morning. We are bringing blessing to each other. That's what the church is all about. And then we ought to take the principle of the church into our lives. If the church is to be blessing other folk, we ought to be blessing other folk. And then we ought to come to the church to bless folk. We're not always coming to get. Amen. Amen. Because you keep coming to get. And someday you're going to show up and that pack is going to be empty. Amen. That's why even in our relationship, both people need to bring something to the table. Y'all don't mind if I get a little personal right now, are you? You know, what kind of woman is going to be serious about a man who ain't bringing nothing to the table? I said, what kind of woman is going to be serious about a man that's not bringing anything to the table? Man that don't have a job, amen, if you can. Amen. He doesn't have a job. He isn't bringing anything in income into the house. What he doesn't even have a plan to bring any security to the house. Amen. If he's not bringing nothing but sex, then you need to realize that you can be replaced very quickly. But she get tired of looking at you. But then on the other hand, what kind of man wants a woman that's not bringing anything to the table? Amen. You're trying to carry the weight and she thinks she's too good to work. Somebody else say amen. He has a plan, but she's not willing to help him to grind out the plan. And if she's not bringing anything but sex, that's going to get old quick too. Amen. Body starts to change and you're not sexy anymore. Amen. Botox don't work. Ask yourself. Are you really valuable to the relationship? I don't play with words like, I'm fitting to walk out on you. I'm getting out of here. Not with my wife. She's too precious to me. She brings too much to the table. And I'm not going anywhere. I've told her a long time ago, if you leave, I'm taking my suitcase with you. And I add a little bit more. If you get another man, he might as well be ready to take care of me too. Because we come as a unit. I ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere. Now you can go ahead and leave, but I'll be walking behind you, tumbling my fingers. Amen, if you can. We settled that a long time ago. Amen. She bring too much to the table for me. I can't afford to start all over again. Amen. Now y'all laughed at that. That was funny, wasn't it? Close it on down. That was funny. What you gonna do with your relationship with God? You ain't bringing nothing to the table. You leave the church and nobody miss you. You don't come to Sunday service from day on in and day on out. You don't do anything in the church and nobody misses you. You leave, I'm fitting to go. I'm fitting to get out of here. And nobody says anything. They just say goodbye. Glad you gone. You're not bringing anything to the table because you have not been participating in God's service and you haven't been working for the Lord, and your relationship with the Lord really doesn't matter because you don't have a relationship with the Lord. 2020, you ought to be saying, you know what? I'm going to make it so that the Lord will miss me if I leave. You know, what kind of man comes to the table? What kind of woman wants a man that doesn't bring anything to the table? What kind of man wants a woman that doesn't bring anything to the table? What kind of Lord wants a woman that doesn't bring anything to the service, doesn't do anything for God, just coming to get everything and don't bring anything? God asks you to do something and you say, I'm not going to do that because my table is too junked up. I don't have time for you, Lord. I've got all this stuff on my plate. And I really don't need you. But what you have on your plate is a bunch of junk. Now, they suggested that I do the Mediterranean diet. I don't even know what a Mediterranean diet is. I got to go look that up. Amen. I got to figure out what to put on my plate that will make me healthy. And I put a whole lot of junk on there. And most of it is making me healthy. But I need to get rid of it because some of it is not doing what it needs to be doing. It's making me fat. And it's filling me up. But it's not what I need. And that's your relationship with God. You may be getting full and you may feel satisfied. But are you really eating what you need to eat? Is your relationship with God being made stronger? Are your muscles stronger? Is your life getting stronger? Are you really in a true relationship with God that it matters if you leave or not? And if it's, the answer to that question is no, then you need to start making a difference in your life and letting the table be cleaned off so that God can put on it what God needs to put on it so that you can have a better relationship with God. Because that's not funny. That's serious. Because if you die today, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, will you truly be able to say, thou art with me? Your rod and your staff comfort me. I am back home and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you truly say that this morning? If you can't say that, then you need to make a commitment where you will get your life back together with God. You need to come down right now and tell God that you want to be back in a relationship with God. You see, when somebody walk away from the relationship, there's only one or two things that can happen. One of them has to come back and say, I'm sorry. And the other one got to say, I forgive you. Y'all know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you have messed up the relationship, somebody has to come back and say, I'm sorry. And the other one has to say, I forgive you. Let's start all over again. Right. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you have sin and you confess your sin, I'm sorry. Then the Lord will cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. I forgive you. Yes. Let's start all over again. And if you're at that point where you have a need to ask for forgiveness, then you need to come down and do that this morning. Because today is the day that you need to start. He said, today when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Yeah. As they did in the day of provocation when they provoked me and made me mad. Yes. You don't want to make God mad. Yes. You don't want to make God mad. Because if you make God mad, then that makes God at the point where God wants to say, I don't want to forgive you. But the only way you can get God to stop being mad at you is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now, I've told you before, the word over there in 1 John is homologeo, which simply means that homo means same and lego means to say. And you say, I say the same thing. Lord has already said that you need forgiveness. Yes. He's already said you sin. Now all you got to say is, I agree. Amen. Lord, forgive me. I want to come home. And if you want to come home, you can come home right now as we sing the song of invitation. Let us stand.
I've wandered far.